all, that is, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and to the persecuted church. I'm Bob, and this is podcast number 93. It's March 13, 2015. Yes, the word is all of us. Do we truly desire to live godly? Then choices will have to be made against the world. Those choices will cost us. From Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, and International Christian Concern, VOM, OD, and ICC, the following reports. First from ICC. Believe it or not, Thailand, peaceful and beautiful Thailand, is indicted today as a persecutor of believers. Police in Thailand have arrested more than 400 Pakistani Christian immigrants, including children. Several pastors in Bangkok told CBN News many of the Christians fled Pakistan because they were either accused of blasphemy or threatened by radical Muslims. They've sought work and refugee status, and many reportedly have interview appointments scheduled with the United Nations. Some of the Pakistani Christians are converts from Islam. Since arriving in Thailand, they've depended on churches and others for food and housing. The Thai government says they are illegal immigrants and must be deported. The Christians say they thought Thailand would provide a safe haven for them after they escaped religious persecution. I'm sure that's not the end of this story. We'll follow it at other times. While we're talking about Pakistan, in Lahore, Pakistan, Pakistani police tortured a young Christian to death after his mother had been previously accused of stealing gold from her employer, who is a Muslim. According to investigators, the woman was charged with having stolen gold items from the house of Abdul Jabbar, where she worked as a maid for less than $20 a month. The 20-year-old Zubair Masih was taken away by a group of agents who were investigating the theft report against her mother, Aisha Bibi. However, the young man, unlike other relatives, was detained and died in the hours following his arrest while still in the custody of law enforcement officers. The incident occurred in Lahore, Punjab, and according to preliminary reports provided by CLAAS, the Center for Legal Aid Assistance and Settlement, the young man was violently tortured throughout the night by the police. The next morning, his lifeless body was dumped in front of his parents' house. The charge of theft lodged against Aisha by Jabbar has been strongly denied by the woman. One evening, the Muslim employer, together with a retinue of policemen, raided her home, accusing her of stealing gold worth just over $350. The police beat and detained the woman, then dragged her to her brother Arshad Masih, with whom her two sons lived. According to the Muslim employer, Aisha handed them over the stolen goods while she continued to proclaim her innocence. Jabbar began to beat Aisha under the indifferent eyes of the police. Then the agents took the whole family to the nearby police station to continue their interrogation. During the long hours of questioning, the agents repeatedly used violence and torture against the Christian family, fracturing the woman's arm. Later, the police released all the family except Zubair. The family feared for the fate of the young man because often the police use violence during interrogations, especially against Christians. And the fears proved well-founded when on the morning of March 6 they found the body of the 20-year-old in front of their door. Doctors confirmed that the death occurred as a result of torture. For 2 days, the family protested outside the police station. Later, under pressure from activists and civil society, on March 8, investigators opened an investigation against an officer and three agents. Despite promises of justice, Most likely the story will end with a paltry monetary compensation to the family, while the policeman will remain unpunished. With a population of more than 180 million people, 97% of that Muslim, Pakistan is the sixth most populous country in the world, the second largest Muslim nation after Indonesia. About 80% of Muslims are Sunni. Shias are 20%, Hindus are 1.85%, followed by Christians at 1.6%, and Sikhs at 0.04%. Now, that news comes from ICC by way of asianews.it, which you should check out. And so you understand a little bit now why people are fleeing from Pakistan to a free country, we had thought, Thailand. Here's another reason. Pakistan reinstates the death penalty after a seven-year moratorium. More than 8,000 people sit on death row in this South Asian nation. After a seven-year moratorium, Pakistan has reinstated the death penalty for non-terrorism cases eligible for capital punishment, and will begin executions in cases where appeals and clemency pleas are no longer an option. Islamabad reintroduced the death penalty on terrorism-related cases last December, following the 2014 Peshawar school attacks that killed over 150 people. Pakistan has executed 24 people since December, already including three whose convictions were unrelated to terrorism. This shameful retreat to the gallows is no way to resolve Pakistan's pressing security and law and order problems, said Amnesty International's Deputy Asia-Pacific Director, Rupert Abbott. More than 8,000 citizens languish on Pakistan's death row, including women like Asha Bibi, a Christian convicted under the nation's blasphemy laws. Last year, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon urged Pakistan to restore its moratorium on the death penalty, which also applies to crimes such as adultery, apostasy, and blasphemy. Rights groups contend that Pakistan's justice system is marred by unfair trials, poor counsel, and police torture. Pakistan's Interior Ministry, however, released a letter clarifying that the death penalty applies strictly as per law, and only where all legal options and avenues have been exhausted and have been rejected by the president. So there you have it. Pakistan, a cruel place for Christians to live. Pakistanis fleeing for safety to Thailand. Thailand putting them in jail. Laos. Prayer is a crime in Laos. Five Christian leaders in Laos were charged with medical malpractice after praying for a sick woman who later died. The Christians were ordered to serve 9 months in prison and pay a fine for causing the death. And Mrs. Kaitang, Mr. Puffet, Mr. Mook, Mr. Hasidi, and Mr. Tiang are all local church leaders in Savanakhet province. The five have been in jail since the woman's death in June. On February 2, they were found guilty of treating a person without an official medical license, causing her to die, and sentenced to 9 months in jail and fined. The Christians did not have legal representation during the trial. The ordeal began after Mrs. Shansi, a new convert to Christianity, asked for prayer on June 19, 2015, after she became severely ill. The five leaders from surrounding villages came together and prayed for the woman's healing for 2 days. After no improvement, they took her to a local hospital where she was given a blood test, IV fluids, and oxygen. In spite of this medical treatment, Mrs. Shansi died shortly after being sent home. Police did not investigate the cause of death, and authorities blamed the Christians for her death. During the funeral service on Sunday, June 23, authorities arrived at the family home and tried to force the family to recant their Christian faith. After an appeal was filed at the district level, the Christian leaders stayed at the home to await the outcome with the family. The next afternoon, village authorities arrived with military forces and arrested the five Christian leaders. A few hours later, the village authorities brought in Buddhist monks who performed a funeral service, and Mrs. Shanxi's body was taken and buried in the village cemetery, which is off limits to Christians. Mrs. Kaitang, Mr. Pufit, Mr. Mook, and Mr. Hasidi and Mr. Tiang were locked up at a sub-district prison where they were kept in handcuffs and their feet were fastened in wooden socks. Court documents stated that the Christians had claimed to heal every sick person without resorting to any medication at all, ignoring the fact that the Christians had taken Mrs. Shanxi to the hospital for treatment. Though local authorities and an attorney appealed to district authorities, they were prevented from helping after the court case was moved to the provincial level. While the five remain in prison, several human rights organizations are seeking to provide legal assistance. That's from Voice of the Martyrs. And in Nigeria, from Open Doors, an aid worker in Nigeria told BBC News on Tuesday that 80 children, not the still-missing Chibok schoolgirls, but 80 other children rescued from a Boko Haram camp in Cameroon in November cannot remember their own names or origins. Dr. Christopher Fomonya, director of the U.S.-based National Democratic Institute, said the children between the age of 5 and 18 had been rescued when security forces, acting on a tip, raided what was thought to have been a Quran school. They are now in an orphanage where there are attempts to rehabilitate the children. Fomunya said the children have spent so long with their captors being indoctrinated in jihadist ideology that they've lost track of who they were. They've lost touch with their parents, he said. They've lost touch with people in their villages. They're not able to articulate, to help trace their relationships. They can't even tell you what their names are. They don't speak English, French, or any local languages. The report confirms concerns expressed by Open Doors workers in Nigeria over the spiritual well-being of the schoolgirls kidnapped last April. Apart from the physical hardships, they're also facing indoctrination. According to Open Doors, of the 275 students present during the Chibok attack, 23 avoided being taken, 16 jumped off trucks, and 4 managed to escape after arrival. Apart from the 4, no others have managed to escape. A local worker said, "I'm presently in contact with the chairman of the Chibok Parents Committee. The girls are still missing. There's no information of escapes. They're still in the hands of the abductors. People are coming up with false stories, but the truth is, the girls are still missing." The number of internally displaced persons, IDPs, in northern Nigeria has hit the 1.5 million mark due to the ongoing insurgency of Boko Haram, the United Nations Agency for Refugees reports. Nigeria is ranked number 10 on the Open Doors World Watch list of the worst persecutor of Christians. Last year, a total of 2,400 Christians were martyred in Nigeria, the highest total of any country in the world. Open Doors has been active in the troubled region of northern Nigeria for almost 2 decades. The ministry includes Bible distribution, training, and caring for new believers, and so on. This information was compiled by Jerry Dijkstra. For media inquiries, you can contact Christine Cape, and so on. There's information there at Open Doors as to who you should contact. The person whose name is at the top of this is Janelle P. In Africa, rescued children can't remember their own names. Well, you have a lot to pray about now, don't you? I trust that you will. You will join Christians all over the world in prayer for these people and for yourself, that you'll be ready when your time comes. And if you will live godly in Christ Jesus, according to 2 Timothy 3:12, if that's the desire of your heart, you're going to be persecuted. Be ready. Tomorrow we look at the testimony, quite different, of a member of the New Apostolic Reformation and see if our discernment in the Spirit of God can pick up something that we ought to know about this man that we've been studying off and on for the last few days. And then the day after that, we'll get back to Charles Spurgeon. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you today.